Okay, well, not really a whole lot new from what we saw last night. Wasn't a very good performance part of our entire football team. We just got to get back to work and be better than that in every area of the game. So, but I think there's anything different than what we picture was last night. A few good individual plays from here and there, but overall, just we can't play like that. And, yeah, they could do very well against a good team.
Bill, do you feel like the performance last night was a step back, or is it just part of the natural progression leading up to the regular season?
I don't know. Go back to work and see if we can correct the mistakes and move forward. A better job.
This is at least a chance to see what type of resiliency your team has at this point in the season to bounce back from the performance like that.
We just need to go out and have a good week of practice and do things a lot better than we did them last night. So nobody's going to do it for us. We're going to have to go out there and nobody but us can make things any better than what they were last night. We have to go out there and do something about it.
Bill, you got a long look at Joe Valano last night. Just curious what you saw from him and what you've seen from him this summer.
I think Joe's played competitively through camp. Tough kid. Out there every day, works hard, getting better. I'm just taking it day by day, see how it goes. But he's been improving, and that's a good thing.
So Logan Ryan's had a chance to line up in a few different positions, primarily outside and then in the slot. But is there anything about his game that's better suited for either one of those spots? I mean, do you like him in one of those spots over the other, or is it too early to tell at this point?
Well, I think we'll just have to see how all that goes. But, he played both positions in college, and depending on maybe the matchups or our game plan or, just how things unfold, how he does relative to the other players, getting our best players out there on the field in the best spots for us as a team. And we'll just have to see how all that unfolds. I'm not 100% sure, even whatever the best position for him is or isn't, it's still going to come down to what's the best spot for him on our team. And the more versatility he has, the more value he has to the team, and that's good for us, and it'll help him get on the field. So we'll just see how it goes. But he has played really all the spots in the secondary, and keep working him so he gives us depth, gives himself versatility. See how it goes.
Bill, it seemed like one area that Kenrell Tompkins was effective was his ability to get off the line of scrimmage. Is that something that you guys saw pretty consistently when you were studying him, or is that something maybe more that has developed since he's joined you guys?
I think that's an area that all rookie receivers need to work on and haven't had a lot of experience with. There isn't a whole lot of press coverage in college. Couple of teams that do it, but there's not a whole lot of it, so that a young receiver needs a lot of work on. I would say same thing for the defensive backs. He would certainly go in that category.
Specific to his skill set, what does he do well that has, and I know we're talking about one preseason game, like just a couple of those catches that he made, were pretty nice plays in terms of his ability to get off the line and sort of win early in his route. What skills does he have that makes him competitive in that area?
Well, we'll just have to see how that goes. I mean, he made a couple nice plays last night, but working against different corners, different skill sets, he's just got to match up individually, whether it's quickness or speed or size or whatever it happens to be, technique. There's different ways to win out there. Maybe not be all the same, depending on who the opponent is that he's facing or the techniques that they're playing. So that's why players have to be good at more than one thing or have more than one skill, or eventually then that one thing gets shut down by a particular technique or a certain type of player, and then the player loses his effectiveness. So for KT, he just needs to work on whole process out there against different guys and different techniques, and being able to deal with whatever the challenges that he faces on the perimeter, be it the individual player or the technique that the guy's playing.
So for those of us who weren't there last night, can you just update us on why Vince Wilfork didn't play?
He just didn't put him in. That's why.
Because?
There are other players who played.
Bill, was there any, when you looked at it, what were some of the positive things you saw out of the game last night?
Well, as I said, there were a few individual plays and, you know, a few things here and there that were competitive, but just overall wasn't good enough.
Bill, unless I'm mistaken, Vereen and Bolden didn't play in the first half after fumbling each time, and was that sending them a message? I mean, was it unintentional? I mean, I don't know if maybe they weren't supposed to play.
One, that ball security is of the highest priority. Anybody who handles the ball, that's a message from day one. So I think that message has been delivered on a daily basis since we started practicing back in May. But I don't think there's any new revelations about that message. Ball security is very important. Anybody who handles the ball in any situation, there could be no mistake about the importance of it. There could be no mistake about that message. The message has been delivered ad nauseum.
So with the first set of roster cuts looming Tuesday, any plans or expectations to make the last nine, or at least as it stands now, those nine moves closer to the deadline, or do you think you'll start whittling away at it over the weekend?
You know, it's a good question. You know, we got back late last night, early this morning, however you want to look at it, and run through the film, need to get together with the medical department and kind of see how everybody's doing. You know, we had a few bumps and bruises in the game. We had some other players that didn't travel to Detroit, so we'll have to kind of see where everybody is and what, you know, how we want to handle those roster decisions, as you mentioned. And we'll, not sure when that will be. It'll be when I think we know for sure what we want to do or what we can do, and how much information we'll have on that, how soon we'll get it, and so forth. I really don't know. But I think we have to make them Tuesday at 4, is that right? Something like that. So,
yeah,
a few days here. Yeah, I'm pretty sure it's Tuesday at 4, but whenever it is, we'll make them by then. But you know, that gives us a few days. And if we need the time, we'll use it. If we don't need the time and we know what those decisions are going to be, then we'll probably go ahead and do them. Once that's evident. But I'm not sure. I couldn't give you a time frame as to exactly when that'll be. But those are kind of all the things that would, that decision would involve. So I could say for sure right now, we, even if we wanted to make that decision, I doubt that we would really be able to make good ones based on the fact that we just don't have enough information on where everybody is. So I definitely don't see it happening today. But from here forward, we'll just take it as it comes, see how it goes. Sorry, and wish I could be more definitive, but we really don't know ourselves.
Bill, I was more curious on like the idea of running out of maybe two back sets compared to, let's say, like two tight ends with one, you know, one tight end, let's say, on each side of the line, or two tight ends on the same side of the line. What does that give you as an offense when you have a two back set in the running game versus the two tight ends? Like, is that a different dimension that is sort of a positive, or is it sort of, you know, they're sort of equal in terms of whatever benefit they give you?
You're talking about two backs and one tight end versus one back and two tight ends, Mike?
I was thinking more like two backs versus two tight ends. So let's say you had, like, yeah, no, exactly what you said.
There's still two receivers in the game.
One tight end versus two tight ends, exactly.
Right, with two receivers in the game.
Exactly.
Right, well, I think when you just fundamentally, when you have one back in the backfield and you have four on-the-line receivers, that gives you an ability to get into the defense, with four, potentially with four people, or even if it's a three of them, sometimes the defense isn't sure which three of them it is. It could be one tight end could be in it, the other guy could be in protection, or that type of thing. So I think you're able to attack the defense from the line of scrimmage a little bit quicker and with a little less predictability, depending on who those players are, of course. That's certainly a factor. As far as your running gaps, and you can put more width to the formation by having a guy on the line, whether it's four on one side and two on the other side of the center, or three and three. You just have a wider front, which there are some advantages to that. By having them in the backfield, you can create that same four-man surface or three-man surface after the snap, so the defense doesn't know where the four-man surface or three-man surface is. The fullback has to, he can build that from the backfield. And then there are also, let's say, a greater variety of blocking schemes with the fullback in the backfield because he can block different guys and come from different angles. He's not always behind the quarterback. He'd be offset one way or the other and, create different blocking schemes and angles that it's harder to get from the line of scrimmage. And also, depending on who your tight end is, can be a little bit easier to pass protect seven men. Because two of them are in the backfield, so they just have one in the backfield, and when you start, running guys up the middle and in the gaps and things like that. But I think fundamentally it's a little easier to pick them up when you have a guy in the backfield that can step up and block them from the fullback position as opposed to a tight end on the end of the line of scrimmage who probably isn't going to be able to loop back in and get them so that the line's going to have to all gap down or not gap down if the guy drops out and all that. So it just, it just creates a different, it creates some advantages, I think, and it also creates some things that you have to deal with. You just have to decide how you want to deal with them. Obviously, when you have a guy in the backfield, it's harder to get those two receivers vertically into the defense in the passing game. They're usually running shorter routes to the flat or, checking over the ball or those kind of things, short crossing routes versus having that fourth receiver on the line of scrimmage who can run some downfield routes, again, depending on who the individual person is. That the skill definitely changes the what you can do with that guy. So, I think those are the things that come into play. Some teams are very settled in one type of offense or another, and so all their plays and their rules and their adjustments, come from that particular set. Other teams use multiple looks to, say, run the same plays or the same concepts, try to give the defense a different look or a different harder for them to zero in on what they're doing, but if they're able to do similar things from different personnel groups and different formations. So, long answer to a really short question, but hopefully that helps a little bit. I don't know.
Appreciate it. No, that was good. Thank you.
Thank you, Coach. Thanks, everyone.
Okay, great. Thank you.